This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Let's say good morning to the guys. We have a lot to get into today. I mean, the Knicks with a great win.
I decided last night was a good night to eat way too much buffalo cauliflower.
Nice.
We got a situation. Now you got Atlanta coming in, back to back.
This is the biggest Knicks game you've had in years.
Yeah, I mean, let's get into the analytics. I mean, how much fun is this team to watch?
The Knicks are great. I love watching this team. I don't understand. What I do not understand is how I say this team is fun to watch, and now I am somehow the poster boy.
I hope you get attacked by a bobcat.
You're going to send a bobcat to my house? I'm going to send plates of broccoli. Steamed, delicious broccoli to your home. Cauliflower. Roughage. Eat it. Eat it.
This is DCR.
Shove it in your mouth and have blowouts all over the place, all right?
On 98.7 ESPN.
The 6 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Later this hour, a little stump Rothenberg at 6:45. I'm not going to ask the guys if they have their questions ready to go, because then I get admonished, and they say, of course. I mean, what are you, the grammatures here? So I know that they will, and we'll, of course, incorporate the callers and the listeners as well. In the 7 o'clock hour, the ultra-talented Dan Graziano will join the show. So a very busy day, a lot to get into. The James Harden story, we'll get into that in a little bit as well. I think there's a good chance, and I don't want to get into it now, that the Nets don't have Durant for a little bit of time, Harden for the rest of the regular season. I think you have to start to be a little bit concerned about the Nets going down the stretch here. But Chris, your Yankees last night, was it the most beautiful thing? You're not going to send it to Cooperstown, to the Hall of Fame, but a win is a win is a win, and your starting pitcher was really good in that game last night.
Yeah, Jameson Taillon was good. He actually gave you a little bit of length. I mean, he gave you five innings, and it was one-run ball, so you'll take that as a win. It's a step in the right direction for him. And then, of course, the bullpen doing what the bullpen has done for Earl all season long, as early as it may be. I mean, the bullpen has been really, really good, Dave. I mean, really good. You use five relievers across four innings, and they locked it down for you in a game that really didn't have a whole lot of margin for error, and they were able to find a way to navigate that seventh inning where things got a little bit dicey after Lickey walked the leadoff hitter. So it's just one of those things where it's just like, we'll take the win. It didn't look like what you wanted it to look like as a Yankees fan, because there were some opportunities where Yankees hitters left guys on the bags. But ultimately, you were able to put together some good at-bats in that eighth inning. Aaron Judge gets a hit. DJ LeMahieu gets a hit. Lead-off walk by Aaron Hicks. That kind of set the stage for them to be able to scratch across a couple of runs thanks to some Braves miscues. But, I mean, listen, we'll take the win after losing five straight. Opportunity to get back on track, and let's hope that this is a springboard for this team to start playing a little bit better baseball.
Yeah, it was amazing for one night. The Yankees turned into the Mets, and the Mets turned into the Yankees.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
It really was like that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how you win, especially, I mean, you lost five straight.
No, you're desperate for a win.
You're desperate for a win. In, I mean, in Taillon, which is amazing to me that five innings is length, but
isn't it? Chris is saying that. I'm like, wait, did I miss how long he went? Chris is like, he got a little bit of length, and he went five innings last night.
From him compared to what he's done?
No, I think you feel, if I would have told you before the game you're going to get 5 one-run innings, you would take it. But it's just amazing that the era of baseball that we're in is a five-inning start, and you're like, boy, that's some length there.
But that's how bad it's been. I mean, everyone outside, I mean, they're showing stats before the game. I mean, everyone outside of Gerrit Cole, I mean, who's been really good. I mean, starters besides Gerrit Cole, their ERA was 6.39.
Mm-hmm.
Just terrible. But, I mean, listen, those are the two wild cards for you guys moving forward. And they took a chance with Kluber and Taillon. And I think we all realized it was going to take some time, because they'd have to figure it out, and it'd be some rust. And hopefully this is the first step into Tim establishing himself in this rotation. Because you need it. Yeah, I mean, you absolutely need it.
You're desperate for it. You can't rely on your bullpen for six innings or five in the third innings every single night outside of when Gerrit Cole's on the mound.
No, you can't. And the other positive from last night is Mike Ford's mustache is beautiful.
You like that thing?
It's a gorgeous mustache.
I could not like Mike Ford.
It's a good play to end the game. I don't know that I love the mustache, though.
Especially when he walks with the bases. His mustache is terrific. I think you would look good with a mustache.
No, I would not.
I think you would.
I'm telling you, I would not.
Do me a favor, just grow one and let me be the judge.
But here's the problem. If I shave the beard area around, and I present just the mustache. First of all, I probably have to register with some kind of a service.
Well, you already didn't you already do that with the whole Diana Rossini thing?
No, no, she didn't. She didn't press any charges or anything like that. So I probably have to register. And second of all, now what do I do? Now if I hate it, now I'm stuck with the mustache.
No, you just, I mean, you grow the beard out because you always have a beard anyway.
Right.
And then at one point, the night, whenever you want to break it out, that night you buzz. Yeah, I mean, you get buzzed. You don't have to straight razor. You buzz around. I mean, you buzz your beard and your chin. Just keep the mustache. Let me see how it looks.
Okay. And if it looks awful, now what predicament am I in?
You just buzz it.
Let's just cut it off.
Just buzz it. You have a
buzzer, right? Mustache if I don't like the look.
Yeah, have a buzz. I mean, grow the beard out nice, like a Canty's thickness.
Yeah.
And then, you know, buzz around the mustache. So you just have the mustache. Like, that's prominent so we can see it. And then if we think you look creepy, then you just, boom, right after the show, you buzz it.
All right, at some point, maybe I will.
I would like to see it. Shoot your shot. Give it a try.
It won't look good. I promise you that now. But you know what? For the interest of the show.
You don't know, Dave.
Pretty confident.
Give the old college try.
Sherry wants a mustache ride. Who knows? You'd like one of those fun books that the kids do, like with coupons? I do one coupon for a mustache ride.
I can't even help you. I don't think anybody can help you.
Oh, my God.
I'm still laughing. That was your best, sneaky best quote.
What?
Well, last couple. Glad to have you back. It was so good.
You are too much. All right. Aaron Boone, after the win, sounds a little bit relieved. Here he is, on the win being a step in the right direction for his club.
You know, I thought we had some really good kind of winning at-bats there in the eighth inning to grab the lead. I thought, especially as the game wore on, I thought there were some real stronger at-bats against Morton, who I thought was on his game tonight. We made some plays in the field. You know, every pitcher that came in, and of course, J-Mo, I thought made a lot of really good pitches in some big spots. You know, we got out of a couple jams. It was a good effort and a good step, and hopefully, you know, something that we can start to build on.
So we're going to go J-Mo, I guess, huh?
It's J-Mo, yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough. I mean, that's not an easy name.
Well, no, Jameson is not an easy name to...
And Tyone is not.
No.
Wait, I mean, you can play off Jameson. I mean,
I guess...
What?
Ty.
No.
No.
No?
No.
J-Mo is better than Ty?
Yeah. I don't like either one of them, Dave. I don't like either one of them, so.
I probably would have played off Jameson.
Jamie?
Yeah, I mean.
No, like, Jameson is a
alcohol?
Brand.
Alcohol?
Yeah. Play off that.
I mean, the way he's been pitching before last night, you needed some Jameson to watch the game.
Or just pour a little bit Jameson on the fire. Just really spark it up. He was really good, though. I mean, that was a big step for him. Curveball was really good. Felt comfortable. I mean, and I don't blame him for coming out. I mean, I feel like he probably could have won another inning, but he's coming off another
Sixth
Tommy
inning.
John, so they're trying to be careful with him.
Really burning.
Well, they're trying to be careful with him. I get it. It ceases to amaze me, though, watching all these games, how bad umpires are at their jobs.
Terrible.
Awful.
Last night in that Mets game was
Oh my God, the one on the low strike on Conforto was Walker was squeezed. It was some terrible umpiring last night in that game.
Yeah.
How about when Chris Bryant doesn't step on first base? Didn't step on first base on JD Davis's throw that was high. Alonso's foot comes off the base, but Bryant never he stepped over the bag. He never touched it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Mets bench is screaming, but they already had their challenge. They already lost their challenge on the Hayward stolen base. How do you not see that?
It was so obvious. It was awful. And Luis Rojas was really frustrated about it last night. Here he is expressing his frustrations that eventually led to him getting tossed from the game last night.
Just repetitions of some pitches that I thought we should have gotten that, you know, were called against us, too. I think, you know, we're pretty aware when a strike zone is established early in a game. The only thing you ask is for consistency. So that's where it came from. Personally, I thought Taiwan got squeezed a little bit by the home plate umpire. And, you know, I thought that, you know, we were getting calls that were out of the zone. So, you know, that's where frustration came into a little bit. That's why, you know, the argument started happening. That's why Taiwan got thrown out. You know, a couple of innings later, I argued the same way because I thought that wasn't a call we were getting. So I started yelling and I started arguing with the strike zone and led to leaving the game early, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it's like a malicious thing. I just think the umpiring is really, really bad around Major League Baseball right now.
It hasn't been good. It has not been good.
I don't think they're out to get the Mets. I just think that they're somewhat incompetent, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, it has been bad. And I get why Walker was frustrated. I know he lost control of the strike zone and everything else. You can't walk the pitcher. I mean, you got Arrieta 1-2 when you walk him. Like, yeah, that's unacceptable. I don't care if you're getting squeezed by the umpire. And you could tell he was frustrated. I understand it. I mean, you walk six guys, but the Mets still can't hit, man.
They can't. Again, Conforto, Smith, Lindor, none of them. I mean, listen, as bad as they were last night and as bad as J.D. Davis was in the field, they had bases loaded, one out with Nimmo and Lindor, and they could do nothing to get a couple runs.
No, I mean, listen, you didn't get a hit from Nimmo, which is, I mean, that doesn't happen recently. I mean, he's been on fire. Lindor doesn't get a hit. Alonso doesn't get a hit. Conforto doesn't get a hit. McNeil, I mean, doesn't get a hit. I mean, you're not going to win baseball games like that. I mean, Gesellman came in. He got you out of a huge jam. And then your bullpen was good. At least they gave you a chance.
It was good. It was good. They did a nice job last night. But, you're not going to win games scoring one run. It's just not going to happen.
No, but again, because they're starting pitching up to yesterday. I mean, Peterson had a rough start. But it's been so good that they haven't had to score a lot of runs. We talked about it yesterday. I mean, with runners in scoring position, they've been worse than the Yankees.
No, they are terrible. I mean, the Mets' offense has been, and it's masked because the starting pitching, Stroman and DeGrom and Peterson in that one start, and Walker, for the most part, have been so good. But their offense, guys, look at the numbers. It's been dreadful.
It's been dreadful, Dave, but they're still winning games. And I guess that's the difference between where the Yankees are at and where the Mets are at right now. We'll see what happens as the season continues to unfold. But, I mean, I just feel like with the Mets, like, it's just that starting pitching has been what's buoyed this team, and we knew that that was going to be a strength. We know at some point this lineup is going to be able to hit. They're going to score runs. Like, I'm not worried about that. Francisco Lindor is not going to bat 171 for the rest of the season. That's not going to happen. Same with Michael Conforto. Those guys are going to be better. I just feel like you know that the Mets are going to continue to improve as a team. And with the Yankees, I guess some of the issues, some of the flaws that they have, I don't know. It just feels like they're a little bit more dicey.
I think that's because of the injury concerns and then the starting pitching.
Yeah.
I think as a Mets fan, you feel good because, I mean, the pitching's been good. And you're going to get Carrasco back, and then at some point you're going to get Syndergaard back.
Right, and you can't imagine there's no way that Conforto and Lindor and J.D. Davis and Alonso and Dom Smith are all going to, and McNeil, all going to struggle throughout the season. I mean, that it just can't be.
No, I mean, there's a track record there. I mean, Lindor has a track record. I mean, Alonso didn't have a great season last year. I mean, he still had a bunch of home runs. Conforto concerns me a little bit just with the amount of pressure he's putting on himself.
And he looks lost at the plate.
And McNeil doesn't look great at the plate.
Mm-mm.
But again, McNeil's shown us that he's a really good hitter. So yeah, you're right. They'll snap out of this. But I think you feel better about the Mets right now just because you know like their starting pitching has already established themselves, whereas the Yankees still have concerns.
Rico, let me ask you this question. How much did that throwing error by J.D. Davis in the third throw off Taijuan Walker?
I mean, in that spot, I mean you get two outs. I mean, he's already pissed because he tried and true with baseball. Lead off walk always bites you in the ass.
It always does. I actually didn't think Walker was bad last night.
I just feel like if he would have been able to get out of that third inning, things might have been different as far as his start goes.
They did him. Well, favors.
But here's the crazy thing though. He goes into that inning and boom, boom, boom. He strikes out the first two in that inning. In the fourth. Before the wheels fell off.
They completely, completely fell off.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Very nice tweet from Real Jet. He says, you would indeed look fantastic with a mustache. I completely agree with Rick. Maybe I'll give it a try. Maybe it'll be my new look. Like I'll be like a Tom Selleck kind of guy.
I mean, maybe this is the, I mean, as you approach 50, maybe this is the new look for you.
Can you believe I'm going to be 50? I mean, I know you laugh and you know you're so old, but like, I am so immature. Can you believe I'm less than 2 years away from being 50?
Nothing I can do! First down! Oh, my God!
No, but that's the biggest thing, though. Mentally, you don't feel like you're close to 50.
No.
I mean, you're probably still, early 20s mentally.
Maybe not even that.
I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. I was leaning more towards like...
Like 17-ish.
Like 17?
Yeah, Take me out for some Taco Bell. Let's go. Like a mature high schooler, I think, at this point. A very mature high schooler. And then Mega Red tweets in. Did you see this one? H Dump D39, he tries his best, but he can't fight his demons when dealing with Rothenberg. It's a sickness, really. And then he has a photo of you. And he has the angel on the one shoulder. It says, be nice to Dave. He's your co-host and your friend. And on the other shoulder, it's the devil. It says, call him fat. Insult the Rangers. Make thermometer jokes. Very well done. Now I have fractured glass in my rear. Very, very, very well done. All right, let's get to some of these Yankees calls and Mets calls and baseball all together. George and Seifert. George, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
George A.
Hello? Oh, no.
What happened to George? Put him back on hold. I mean, he's there. You can hear him. He's there.
Let's just see how long it takes for him to say something. I mean, he just called.
George! Hello? Is he sleeping?
Maybe he took a nap. By the way, with the Jeopardy music, did you watch Anderson Cooper at all yet this week?
I haven't watched it. No, I taped it.
He's done a good job, Dave.
He's good?
Yeah. Anderson Cooper's done a good job, yeah.
I don't want to give more jobs. I would hate to give more jobs, but I think Greeny would be great at it.
How about me?
Nah, I mean, you haven't done much TV.
What, but I could do it.
Yeah, I mean, so could Canty. Could do it. I could do it. I mean, could you do it well?
I would be better than both of you at Jeopardy. Listen, I give you guys credit. Work at the draft, that's Canty. He deserves it. Hockey show, that... Well, that's a bad example. But anyway, I think if it's Jeopardy... It should be me.
Yeah.
No, it should not be you. You don't answer questions in Jeopardy. The host doesn't answer the questions.
I know, but I'm quick-witted. I could run through the categories. I could read them beautifully. I should host Jeopardy if anyone on the show. In every relationship, there's a short list of forgivable offenses. They're always ready to go, aren't they, RJ?
Exhibit A, right there.
Yeah, great. Oh, all right, let's see if Doug in Long Island is awake or if he's passed out. Doug, you're next up on 98.7.
Fellas, what's going on? How are you?
What's going on, Dougie?
I'd like to, I'm a little down about a few things with the Mets, but overall I'm very happy. And then I definitely, Rick, you and Chris, I would love to ask one question about chemistry that I think fans is not playing. We don't understand how important it is. The thing with the Mets that bothers me a little is the hitting is going to come to me. They've been playing in 38-degree weather, snow, the home opening, worried about rain. They're in Chicago now. It's cold. So that I'll give them a pass on. But the thing with Jimenez that I loved seeing him, it was refreshing as a Met player, was he had an incredible baseball IQ. And I don't really feel that when one of the down is with the Mets. And the thing last night that got me was you saw that umpire was squeezing the whole game. He was squeezing Walker. And as a Met, I love Nimmo, usually works at bats. And that inning, the fifth inning, I believe it was, it's a 2-0 count. Nimmo's struggling. You got to find ways to win. The 2-0 pitch he chases. Lindor then walks. Dom Smith gets up. The same thing. The ump squeezing. 2-0 pitch. He chased like a lower pitch. Now, that bothered me a little. But the question I want to ask you and Chris, these guys play, and for most of this, 6-8 months, however long it is when you start the spring, I don't think fans understand the value of chemistry, and that's one of the great things I love about this Met team. This team has fun. I feel like that might be a difference from this Yankee team in the past with the CC teams. And CC even said when he went to the Yankees, he didn't want to go there. He heard things about the chemistry and the locker room, and he said that Cash came to him and said, I want you to be the guy that changes it. And I think in the long season, I believe, with watching on Twitter and social media, you can see how tight these guys are on the Mets. And I believe in a long season, that's going to help them tremendously. Chris and Rick, I'd love to know what you guys feel. Because at work, if I'm happy going to my job, I enjoy my job, I perform better. And I feel like that's going to help the Mets long term once the weather gets good and they start getting going. All right, guys, thank you.
Thanks for the call. I mean, it's everything. I mean, we talked about this yesterday and how much the Yankees miss someone like CeCe Sabathia. Like, that's something that they lack. I think Brett Gardner could potentially be that, but I mean, as a guy who's now a bench player, I mean, it's not that easy. And it is the one thing we talked about yesterday, too, that the Mets have. I mean, Lindor brings that every single day. Pete Alonso brings that every single day. I mean, say what you want about last night. Yankees win, Mets lose, they can't hit. But at least the Mets showed some fight last night.
Yeah.
I mean, Rojas gets kicked out. Walker's pissed off. Like, they bring that kind of that energy. Joy to the game. Well, it's energy, it's joy. Like, the Yankees, that's part of the problem watching the Yankees, and they're so boring, is it doesn't seem like anyone enjoys playing baseball right now for them. You know what I mean? Like, there's no enjoyment. There's no excitement. Like, they're not having fun. Like, they don't have any Torres. Like, do you know what the Yankees need? The Yankees need Theo Pinson.
Yeah, that's what they need. They need a hype
guy. That's
who
they need. Yep.
They need a hype guy on the bench.
The first guy on the court when things are going well.
Oh, yeah. They need
it doesn't
guy.
Matter. I mean, Theo Pinson's all over the place. He stands up the entire game, man. And I could promise you that's why they signed him. They re-signed him. Pinson.
Bob's because he brings that kind of a guy. I'm sure he'll do anything the coaches ask, and he's involved in every game.
You need, Dave, I'm telling you right now, especially in baseball when they spend so much time together, that you need someone like that, multiple guys like that, that every day you walk in, smile on their faces, they pump you up.
It's good.
You need that.
It's important. That's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. Kenny Franklin Square. Good morning, Kenny.
What's going on, Dave? Good morning, DCR. I'm actually really glad that the last caller just brought that up. So I noticed that in the eighth inning with the Yankees, when they had the bases loaded and Frazier came up to bat, it's actually funny. The first thing I said to my brother was, oh, no, because I wasn't too sure that they were going to drive in any runs. Sure enough, the pass ball got a run across, and something else happened, which wasn't necessarily a driven-in run, but from what I remember. But anyways, when Frazier struck out and went down to the dugout, I've noticed his body language was very clear that he was upset, and, you know, he's been struggling. It's all there to see. No one was there to pick him up. There wasn't a leader in the clubhouse. Nobody came up to him and said, hey, pick your head up. It's going to be okay. It was, I don't know. There's no leadership there, and you could see it. You could feel it, and it's very disappointing. It sucks as a Yankee
Yeah,
fan.
I don't know about that, though. I hear what you're saying. That wasn't an isolated incident where last night was he struggled. Like, he's been struggling.
He's been terrible.
He's been awful, and he's pressing because he wants to establish himself, and he was given the opportunity. He hasn't made the most out of it. Like, it's at certain points, like, you just got to leave guys alone.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're my everyday left fielder, and that's it.
No.
Let him figure it out. Rather than rolling up on him and trying to pat him on the back or doing whatever, just give him some space. Let him see if he can figure it out. See if he can get out of his own way. I think that's what Rick is trying to say.
I got
yes,
you.
Exactly.
Well,
right
now he can't, though. I mean, right now he cannot get out of his own way.
Yeah, he's lost.
That actually surprised me, though. Pinch hitting for Gardner there, that actually surprised me in that spot.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Frazier's been
brutal. Bad, and Gardner has been one of the better hitters on the team this year.
Well, especially, too, because, I mean, at that point, I mean, the pitcher's reeling at that point, right? Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden you pinch hit, they're going to definitely bring in the righty. And luckily for them, the pass ball, and then, you know, maybe you end up getting the walk. But
they had it. I mean, if they weren't going to come through, the Braves are going to make sure that the Yankees, they got those runs there. And then Chapman comes in, shuts the door, and away you go. There's a win.
I can't feel bad about it. I mean, Braves lost. Good.
No. Why would? Well, listen, Braves lost. As bad as the Mets loss was last night, and they had so many chances to win that game. Braves lost. Phillies lost. Right? I mean, did the Nationals play yesterday?
I'll take as many losses from those teams as I can get.
Marlins lost.
As many.
So it's not the...
Oh, by the way, speaking of who won, can you guys guess who won yesterday? When Matthew Harvey won yesterday, baby.
Oh, nice.
Yes. First win is an Oriole. Beat the Marlins.
Yes. Good.
Congrats to him.
I wish him nothing but success.
Yeah. Nationals won, Dave. They beat the Cardinals.
That's right. Now, did you text Matt after the game? Congrats. Good job.
Of course. But again, that's one of those situations, like the caller brings up. Like, you know, should someone go over to Clint Frazier? Like, you got to know your teammates. You got to know your buddies. There are times to, you know, to shoot the text, like, hey, come on, keep your head up. And there's times when you just give them their space.
That's right.
Lay out.
Give them their space and let them sulk at the moment.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
In just moments, Stump Rothenberg is coming your way. Very stressful segment, but I'm going to do the best that I possibly can.
Why is it so stressful for you, though, Dave? I mean, this is right in your wheelhouse. Sports trivia is what you do.
Well, here's the thing. It's so important to me. Like, if I, you know, with Rick, if he fails at something, it now ruins his entire day. If I have a bad Stump Rothenberg, forget it. I might as well get into bed after the show, put my head under the covers, and not return until tomorrow.
I'm crazy.
So a bad Stump Rothenberg compounded by the fact that it is on the Wednesday.
Yes.
It's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
A lot of anxiety.
I completely fall apart. You're talking about the Wednesday, Stump Rothenberg, bad performance, mess. Completely fall apart.
Yeah, but you got the two, I mean, the beautiful puppies. You have a bad day, you walk upstairs.
Uh-oh.
They're very smile on your face.
I think there's a chance that they're still sleeping.
Oh, if that's the case, I mean, you know what you have to do now.
Run their faces off.
Here's how smart you are, though. You killed two birds with one stone. You run the dogs and the kids at the same time.
That's right. Well, the kids sleeping is a non-issue. It's the dog sleeping that's the issue. But I told Alex yesterday, I said, listen, anytime you want to have a friend over and just run these animals, have at it. Invite them over.
Smart.
Run them. Steve in Manalapan. Steve, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Steve?
What's going on, Stevie?
All right. I love your show. Very funny. I just started listening, and you guys are funny. Funny and knowledgeable. Great show. I want to talk about the Yankees. I'm 60 years of age. I've been watching them my whole life. The Yankees will be fine. It's early in the season. Baseball's a marathon. It's not a sprint. The one concern I do have is their three-hitter. They cannot have Aaron Hicks or Gardner batting third. Hicks is a .235 lifetime hitter, and Gardner's a .260 lifetime hitter. You can't have these guys batting in the third hole. That's ridiculous. And they really miss Voit. He'll be the guy, the rah-rah guy you guys were talking about before. It will be Voit. Maybe they can slide him into the third hole. Because you cannot have these guys batting in the third hole. It just ain't going to work for them.
Well, the reason why you have Hicks batting in the third hole, I mean, we'll keep talking about it because, I mean, it seems like they want a left-handed bat in the three hole.
But he stinks.
Mm-hmm. No, I know, but it's usually... No, I'm making the case for why they would do it, why the analytics would tell you to put Hicks there, is he breaks up the righties and he gets on base. I mean, he's a switch hitter, so he breaks up the righties. Unfortunately,
correct,
he's not getting on base. He's not getting on base. But this is why, when we're talking about what the Yankees should do this offseason, a guy like, here's the perfect name. And he ended up going back to the Astros. Michael Brantley.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a left-handed bat.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Brantley is especially the kind of approach, I mean, like Chris just said, he's a professional hitter.
He's a pro's pro. Yep.
That would have solved that problem. But, I mean, he's right. Once you get Voit back, again, but you're so right-hand hit. I mean, you're right-hand dominant.
That's what you are, though.
Well, that's what he wants.
I mean, that's what you are. But I'm telling you, and I agree, that you cannot continue to trot either Hicks or Gardner out into that three spot. You can't do it.
Yeah, but I mean, at this point, who are you moving up?
That's the question. I don't know if they have a whole bunch of alternatives, Dave.
You going to throw Urshela at the three spot?
I would put Gleyber at the three spot.
More pressure on him? That's what you want to do is put more pressure on his plate?
Listen, I'm sorry. When Hicks come, if I'm the other team and I can pitch around the two batter, pitch around Judge to get that three spot in Hicks, I'm going to do it every single time. At least Gleyber scares me if I'm the other team.
No, but currently he doesn't, though.
No.
The problem
currently
with the lineup is 3-4.
But big picture, he would more than...
No, but big picture right now is not only is 3 bad, 4 isn't good, and 5 ain't good either.
No. No, it's a problem. Even last night, I mean, they didn't hit the ball.
No, they did not hit the ball.
No.
But they got great starting pitching. Well, I mean, I say great. I mean, Tyone was good.
He was very good.
Yeah.
He absolutely was very good. 800-919-3776. Line up the calls for Stump Rothenberg, by the way. We're going to do that in about 6 minutes from right now. All right, we love him. You can, Rick, do you need to, where are you with the cauliflower? Do you need to go to the bathroom or anything?
I had no control over my bowels.
Take out the garbage or anything like that?
No, garbage tomorrow. No, I'm good.
Because you would have time. You would have time right now. We bring in Omar from Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar.
How are you? Good morning. I cannot believe life is so good when the Knicks are winning. I'm telling you, my Buffalo was winning, but the Knicks winning 7 games in a row, life is wonderful. And for my son, oh my God, he's so happy. He's so excited. And the second one, like, he's really deep into it. And when the Pelicans game happened and they tied the ball game with Bullock, right? 2.5 seconds remaining, he said, oh, the umpires are going to bail out Zion and they're going to call a foul. I said, listen, calm down. You are. This is a totally different thing. They're not losing it. They hit a big time three. They're not losing this game. They're winning it. Calm down. He is so excited. 7 games. It's David tonight. 8 in a row. And Atlanta, with the free agency that they signed, all the talented, according to a lot of pundits, a lot of talented players, and the Knicks don't have talented players. They just play hard. So this is, if they win tonight, I told you like 7-8 weeks ago that Knicks are going to be 4th seeded. I was upset they didn't make a trade in the trading deadline, but tonight they win. Back-to-back, both the teams are playing. I believe that I did not believe first in Thibodeau that he's playing too many minutes. But the way I'm seeing it, when you play more minutes, you become tougher. You were losing close games. They are winning how to win close games. And because of putting 40 minutes, they are more basically physically skilled to go in a tougher situation, mentally tough. I think we take this tonight, 8 in a row. Let's go next. It cannot be number 4. Life is so much after a long time.
Thanks for the call, Omar. Can you not hear the smile on his face? I don't know that I've ever heard a smile on someone's face as ear to ear as it was with Omar right there. He's so excited.
I'm telling you right now, the Yankees want to turn this thing around, sign Omar.
He's the instant energy that we're looking for.
He's instant energy.
Excited.
Things go well. Yeah, I mean, you ride that energy. Things go bad, and you know what? Once you get back to the clubhouse, you know what's happening.
No, he will destroy you.
I'm on the ship, Omar. No, I'm on the ship.
I told you they were going to make the playoffs. You guys yelled at me.
Well, no, we yelled at you. We all felt like they were going to make the playoffs. We just weren't the ones we didn't want to be the ones that put the mic on the Knicks.
I wanted to say it. I want to live dangerously. I want to get out there on the limb, and I wanted to say the Knicks are going to make the playoffs. And I look like a genius right now.
Yeah, you look great. Congratulations.
Thank you
very
much.
You didn't jinx the Knicks.
Yeah, I jinxed nothing. They won 7 in a row. How can you jinx the Knicks?
I give credit to that limb. I mean, the limb's the real MVP.
I was fat at one point. Let's go to Troy in South Carolina. Good morning, Troy.
I'm still laughing. Omar's so much more entertaining when it's not going well, but still good to hear him. Hey, Dave, you should do the mustache. The guys are giving you the right advice. Go with it. It's going to look great.
You think it'll look great?
It's going to look great.
It's going to look great. You got to give it a shot. Give it a shot. Hey, you're doing the stuff, Rothenberg, and Nita was filling in for you Saturday, right? So I'm doing the grass, right?
Uh-huh.
You got to vet this thing, man. It just, you know, it was horrible. I felt so sorry for Ty. So you got to do a little bit better vetting. We all know that of all sports hosts, and for that matter, all hosts, you're the guy, man. We all admire you. It's just amazing what you're doing. I'm saying that sincerely. So we got to have some quality control when somebody's filling in for you, not Rick, on Saturday with Steph Rothenberg.
It was that bad, Troy?
Well, I don't understand why. Listen, this is what should happen. The Dave Rothenberg show on Saturdays, when Dave Rothenberg isn't there, shouldn't be the Dave Rothenberg show.
No.
No,
but
you
it
do
is.
Your own show.
It's from,
yeah. No,
it's
you do
from
your own
9
show.
To noon. It's the Dave Rothenberg show.
No, that's fine, but you do your own show in that spot.
But I think people have, like, people tune in at 10:30 to hear Stump Rothenberg.
Yes, I would agree.
But there's no Rothenberg. If there's no Rothenberg, there is no Stump.
They still love the segment so much.
No, they love it when you're doing it.
Nobody can pirate your intellectual property, though, Dave. Stump Rothenberg is unique to you. Like, you can't have somebody fill in and do the kind of job that you would do at 10:30 on Saturday mornings. It's just not going to happen.
Except KJZ.
Well, they might take it. If at 8:15 today you found out they were doing like a stump Zubin, you would be shocked by that.
Stump Rothenstein.
Stump Hentyberg coming up at 8:15 this morning. All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side.
Wow.
Why did we have to go there?
Wow.
The Rabbi Zubin.
You can, if you're quiet during the show, you can actually hear his beard growing, by the way.
I'm telling you, do you not notice that?
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
He starts the show clean shaven. By the time it's done, he needs to shave again. I never see anything like it.
I can't laugh at what you guys are doing right now. I just can't.
Why?
No.
Oh, that's right, because you're part of them.
It feels wrong. It feels dirty.
Because you're part of, because you're them.
No, I'm not them. I mean, I'm a guest
he's one
on
of them.
Their show.
No,
I
he's
help
one of them,
them out.
You're like the others on Lost.
No way. Not even close, Dave. Not even close. I'm just saying it just feels wrong. I feel like I'm laughing for free just because, you know, I actually do the show with him after I jump off with you guys. This feels wrong.
Okay. I think it was
KJZC now.
I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I'm just saying it feels wrong.
So what we're doing is, in fact, accurate. You just feel dirty in joining us and doing it as well.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Kathy, do me a favor, too. Can you make a suggestion?
What's that?
Oh, you already know the first suggestion. The take it or shake it. That has to be gone. I'm done with that segment.
No, they're committed. That's not
I hate
going
that
anywhere,
segment.
By the way.
It's an embarrassment.
They love it.
It's an embarrassment. Can we please get, could they give Zubin paper to read off of instead of his phone? The poor guy's reading off this tiny little phone screen. If you're going to do a segment, can we give a piece of paper and throw it on his computer?
I don't know why he does that. He's insisted on it. I look at it every day, and he's got a beautiful Hewlett-Packard laptop in front of him, and yet he chooses to read off of the iPhone. It's his thing.
He's holding it up, and he's like, he can't even see it.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. Very strange. It's like, why do you have the computer there? Like, what's the point of it?
It's a prop.
It's just to make we're ESPN.
Is it, advertising?
We have computer folk. Understand. It's like the Giants. It's like we have computer folk. We have computer. We just choose not to, in fact, use them. Okay, all right, let's go. It's the Wednesday edition. Here we go of Stump Rothenberg.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Now let's find out. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by BetMGM Sports. All right, let's bring him on. He is the man that loves the segment more than maybe anyone else. And that is Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, guys?
What's up, Andy?
No, I promised RJ I would not mention anything about the Islanders' beatdown last night, so I will not mention that.
No, mention it, Andy.
You're a bad
wax
guy,
poetic. You got plenty of time.
You're a bad guy, Andy. You have no time. Get right to it. It's like the soup Nazi
you
here. Come on.
It. David, when was the last time the Giants invested a first-round pick in a player from a West Coast school?
Well, they definitely drafted Sean Williams.
Final answer?
No, not final answer. I gotta spend a first-round pick?
Yes, sir.
I'm All right. big fan of Oprah.
I do love Oprah.
Who doesn't love Oprah?
Martha Stewart. Those are my those are two.
Oprah's at a higher level than Martha Stewart. Plus Martha.
Yeah,
Stewart's
but ever since Martha's been, she's been doing some stuff with Snoop Dogg. Man, I don't know. She seems a little bit wild. Like she's more
do you
wild.
Know she
than
was me. a high level model back in the day. Martha Stewart.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Dave.
See, there you
Did
go.
Not know
All right.
That.
So let's see. Daniel Jones, Saquon. No. Before that, it was Evan Engram. No. I've tried to forget the couple before that. Apple and Flowers. Odell, yeah.
DeAndre Baker was a good selection.
I think you're right, Dave. I think
you think
you're
it's
right.
Sean Williams? I think that was 96. I just don't want to. Akeem Nix, no. Aaron Ross, no. Kiwanuka's in there. They didn't have a first-round pick the year prior. Phillip Rivers, no.
Now you're just showing off.
No, I'm not.
This,
I'm trying,
just, this
I'm
is him. This is him Googling. This is what he does. This is an old radio trick.
Yeah, this is me
talk
Googling.
Talk while you Google.
Luke.
You better wrap it up!
I think it was Sean Williams. I'm going to go with that as my final answer. Yes.
Your first instinct was the right answer.
That is correct.
Out of,
you just wasted a minute and 15 seconds.
I had to make sure I got it right. Don't yell at me. What's the matter with you? You have a question or you want to waste time?
I got an amazing. I got two. I'm going to go with my. I got
a question
questions.
Too. I got to get it after you, Rico.
All right, go ahead.
All right, Kathy, you go. Who want you? I'm going to go first?
No,
whoever.
You go ahead and go
matter.
First. You bat lead off, Rico. Set the table.
All right. So we were talking about Jamison Tyone giving you quality length with the five innings. So it got me to thinking. You're going to love this stat, Dave. Who has the most... No, I'm not going to ask you that one because it's too easy. Who's pitched the most innings in a season? Most innings pitched in a Major League Baseball season.
Are we doing modern era?
No, all time.
I mean, there's a guy by the name of Will White who pitched like 680 innings in a season. But is that who you're looking for?
That is correct.
Okay.
Will White, 680 innings in one season.
That is correct.
And I believe second on that list is Old Haas Radbourne.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, there you go.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Okay, this is just a little nugget for people.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cy Young, the question I was going to ask you, who has the most complete games you would have got? Cy Young, right?
Mm-hmm.
He started 815 games. He started 815 games. How many complete games did he pitch of 815 starts?
I'd say 803.
749 complete games.
I mean, that's what you did. That's just what it was.
They ain't making them like they used to.
That's just what it was. If you started the game, you finished the game. All right, wow. So that's a good, solid 2-0 start. Chris, you ready? You're up.
Yeah, I'm ready to go, Dave. So this is in honor of our very own Rick DiPietro and his New York Jets, who figured to take Zach Wilson with the second overall pick, Dave. This quarterback has the most game-winning drives of any rookie in NFL history.
All right, I'm not going to play this. I'm looking for just the easy way. I'm going to try to get some of the obscure top 10 ones off the bat. I'm going to say Joe Montana. Okay. Very cute.
Oh, back to the question, Dave. This quarterback has the most game-winning drives of a rookie in NFL history.
I don't know that I know the answer to this. You know this, Rick?
I don't know if it's the right answer. I have an inclination.
I'm going to guess. I'm going to say Vince Young. No.
That's not a bad guess, Dave. That is not a
but
bad
it's not the
guess.
Right answer.
Uh-oh.
That's not the right answer.
Uh-oh.
It would be one, Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck had 7 game-winning drives. Vince Young is tied for second with 5, along with Dak Prescott, Ben Roethlisberger, and 1 Geno Smith.
Okay. All right, so you got me. We're 2-1 here. Let's go to Charlie in Brooklyn. Good morning, Charlie. You're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How y'all doing today?
We're doing great.
So because Carlos Rondon blew the perfect game last week, I tried to call in on Saturday to ask this question, but I couldn't get to it. But there it is. Who is the only catcher that caught 2 separate perfect games?
2 separate perfect games?
Yes, sir. Oh, I got a good one then.
So the guy Carantini, I know, just caught the last 2 no-nos.
That's not a perfect game, Dave.
No, thank you.
And Rodon didn't throw a perfect game.
No, he threw a no-hitter.
Yeah.
Right, but he blew the perfect game.
Yep.
I believe that the answer is Ron Hassey, who caught Len Barker's in 81 and Denny Martinez El Presidente in 91.
That is correct.
I don't understand.
Wow.
That is correct.
Yes, Len Barker with the Indians. And there you go.
Thank you, guys. Love the show. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. And that is 3-1.
Now, that's
ridiculous. What do you understand? What's the matter?
No, that was one of your best ever.
Well, thank you.
I'm not afraid to say it.
That's next level.
Let's bring in John from Brooklyn. John, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great.
All right. If it's okay, I want to transition to entertainment, Dave. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. How well-versed are you in the Rocky movie series?
Well-versed. I think I'm pretty well-versed in Rocky.
Okay. So here's your question. What is the name of the priest in the Rocky series?
Oh, yeah.
You know this?
Yeah, I know this one.
Is it Father Carmine?
There you go.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. And there we go. And Rick, did you have another? Or are we going to end it on that?
No, that was it. I think 4-1 is a good way to finish this thing off.
Yeah, all keep that win percentage high, Dave.
I'll take it. That's a way to play Stump Rothenberg. And that, of course, is Stump Rothenberg.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7. 8.7.